Psalm 138, and we want to continue that and probably finish it tonight. You know, that beautiful song that we just did, thank you, Brother Jonathan, for choosing those. That was a song that Brother Gord always he liked. That was one of the ones that he liked. I remember him talking about that, singing that one. And if you would, pray, because in relation to Brother Gord, not for him, he's with the Lord, as we all know, but I'm still working on a few things with his estate. And I have a tax appointment at the end of the month on the 26th. And I'd like you to pray about that, if you would. I think I have everything in order. But we want the Lord's help in that. And if I'm missing something, that he would let me know somehow and that it would all work out. So I believe that's the last step in that. And so I appreciate your prayers for that. But that was one of the songs that he really enjoyed. And then if you noticed, Fanny Crosby was the writer of that song, and of course, she was a blind hymn writer, and so many hymns in the hymn book from her. And thinking about that, if you've never read her story, when the service is over, just go to Google and hit Fanny, I think it's J. Crosby, and you can look that up and learn about her life, and how that very early on, she was blinded, and yet didn't let that stop her from honoring the Lord and loving the Lord, and wrote so many beautiful hymns, that being one of them. And so we give God the glory for it. Psalm 138, I'll read. You've been standing for a while. And Psalm 138, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. You get that? He doesn't want to be close to anybody that's proud. And so he resists the proud, right? That's a companion verse to that. But he gives grace to the humble. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Heavenly Father, thank you that we have this psalm. And I pray tonight, as we look at it, as well as other verses, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct this time. Empty me of self, empty our listeners of self, and may we be filled with your Spirit, speaker and listener alike, and then ultimately, Lord, would you be glorified through it. Lord, I don't know, there may be someone watching that's not saved. Father, please convict them of their need of a Savior, that they need to be saved. And Lord, convict me of any need I have tonight. I know I have them. So even while I'm speaking, Lord, would you minister and work in my heart? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. Last Wednesday night, we began this lesson, Worship During Troublesome Times. Worship During Troublesome Times. I'm going to review, just rapid-fire review. We talked about present times of trouble. God is to be worshipped. And we gave you four words that all ended in the letters L-Y. Maybe that's, you forgot that already. That's okay, don't worry about it. I might not remember it if I didn't have my notes in front of me, okay? But in all seriousness, we are to worship God. If you remember, thankfully, that was the first thing that we talked about, verse number one. Secondly, we're to worship God wholeheartedly, and that was verses one and two, specifically worshiping him from our whole heart. We see that in verse number one. And then number three, we talked about worshiping God in present times courageously. And we pointed out that phrase, before the gods. And so it doesn't really matter what society that we're living in or how it looks at God or how it feels about God. We need to worship God courageously. We need to take a stand. We need to preach the truth in love. But we need to stand on the Word of God and stand on the promises of God. And I think we know this to be true, that the society that we live in is not getting more and more favorable toward the things of the Word of God. And, you know, that's okay. We know that's inevitable. Perilous times come. People will wax worse and worse. But our God is still on the throne, and he's as powerful today as he always has been. And so he's still omnipotent. And so, but we need courage, and then courageously, and then intelligently. Intelligently. And that was verses 2 and 3. And I think that's where we left off. Present times of trouble, God is to be worshipped. Okay, next main point. Future times of triumph, God is to be worshipped. In future times of triumph, God is to be worshipped. Look at verse number 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Yet hath he respect unto the lowly. And we pointed that out a moment ago. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Go with me and you will. Hold your place there. We're going to be back there. But go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And let's look at chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11. Really, it'll be evident, and it's obvious, I think, already to those of us that know the Lord. It doesn't matter what time it is, God is to be worshipped. But we're emphasizing here from Psalm 138 and then elsewhere. So, Revelation 11 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." Notice this. "And he shall reign forever and ever." And what happens? The 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." God is to be worshipped, no matter if it's present times of trouble, no matter if it's future times of triumph. And as a Christian, we are looking forward to that reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking forward, as the Scripture says there, that it will be forever and ever. The devil is on borrowed time. The devil, as was Pastor Nathan mentioned in some setting recently, he knows what the Bible says. He knows what it. He knows he can read. All right. And I hope you've outread the devil, all right? Get in the Bible, all right? But he knows what the Bible says. He knows the end, a result that's coming for him. And so he's on borrowed time. There will come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I'm thankful that someone shared the gospel with me. And at a very early age, I bowed the knee and I got saved when I was 9 years old in April of 1983. What's your testimony tonight? When did you get saved? When did you trust Christ as Savior? Do you know him? Is he just a historical name to you? Or is he your King? Is he your Lord? Oh, he can be tonight. I would encourage you tonight, worship him now. Trust him now. Put your faith and trust in him now. There will be a future time of triumph, and you will worship him then, whether you like it or not. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, the Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Think of that. He inhabiteth eternity. That's just kind of blows our mind, doesn't it? You know, he's now, but he inhabits eternity. He's past. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no beginning. There is no ending. He's just always has been, and he always will be. He said, the Bible says, "Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." We need to. We need reviving. We need renewing from time to time, daily. The Bible coming into our minds. Future times of triumph. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2. Future times of triumph. God is to be worshipped. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 10. "And at the name of Jesus," this is what we were referring to earlier, "every knee shall bow," should bow, "of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To confess means to agree with God. Well, I tell you what, it'd be so much better tonight if you're not saved. It'd be so much better for you to confess that He is Lord now. Confess now. This is why we want to, by all means, save some. This is why we want to be a witness verbally and with our lifestyle, yes, and giving out the gospel in whatever way we can, because there's coming a day when the people will have to confess one way or the other that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Future times of triumph, present times of trouble. How about this one? When there's times of uncertainty. Let's go back to our text. Psalm 138, times of uncertainty. That could be present, but it may not be. You know, you might look at your life right now and everything is, as we used to say, hunky-dory. And by the way, I have no idea what that means. I think it means good. But maybe that's not your story today. And there is some uncertainty. You know, we have some people on the prayer page. There's uncertainty. Health reasons. There's some uncertainty, maybe financially. And so I want to encourage you, in times of uncertainty, God is to be worshiped. You don't have to have everything. I don't have to have everything that I think I need to worship God. He will supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. He will take care of His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This church doesn't belong to me. This church doesn't belong to you. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can say confidently that this church is in good hands. In fact, it's in God's hands. In times of uncertainty, worship God. Never lose that spirit of worship to Almighty God. What does it mean to worship? To give worth to. There is nothing that can happen to you and to me that should take away of the value that we see in our Heavenly Father. In times of uncertainty, the psalmist says in verse 7, he gives an interesting statement, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of it, okay? When you're in the midst of something, that midst, M-I-D-S-T, that's one of those good old 1611 words that, I don't know, maybe you use that word today, but I don't know that I've ever used it much in regular lingo. I know what it means, though. It means in the middle of it. In the middle of it. The writer says, when I'm in the midst of trouble, when I'm stuck in the middle of it. Have you ever got into something and you got into it hesitantly, whatever it is, and maybe, you know this, I was just thinking about this. Have you ever driven through a puddle? And you didn't realize how big the puddle was when you started to drive through it, but then you got into the midst of it, and you looked out your window, and maybe you've never been in this big of a puddle, hopefully not, but you looked out your window, and there's the puddle halfway up the door of your car, or right at the well of the car where I don't know what that's called there, where your feet can sit on that thing there, and it's about where the door jamb is, and it's about to come in, or it's coming in, and you're like, oh, I'm in the middle of the puddle. I'm in the midst of the puddle. What do you do now? Do you go back, or do you just keep going? Well, that's what the psalmist says here. He says, I'm in the midst of it. In other words, I can't see the end of it because I'm just in the middle. And he says, I'm walking in it. See that in verse 7? I'm walking in it. What is this? Here's what it means to be in the midst of trouble. When you go to bed at night, you're thinking about it. When you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about it. When you get to work and you're busy and things are busy, you're not thinking about it because you're busy. And all of a sudden, when there's a little bit of a lull in the workday, what do you first think about? You think about the trouble. It's in the middle. You're in the middle of it. You look behind you, it's there. You look in front of you, it's there. You look to your right, it's there. You look to your left, it's there. In the midst of trouble, you are walking in it, and you know it's there. In fact, it's getting deeper and deeper, quite possibly. And yet, the Bible says here that David says, even though I'm in the midst of trouble, he's got rebellious kids. He's got things happening around him that his family wasn't everything it could have been. He wasn't everything he could have been or should have been. Turmoil, rebellion. Even his own people at one point wanting to kill him, stone him. He's in the midst of trouble, but what does he say? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Wow. Thou wilt revive me. You know what that tells me? That tells me that even though David is in the midst of trouble, and even though tonight you might be in the midst of trouble, it's not time to stop worshiping God. Why? Because as David says here, God is there with him in the midst of it. He will revive him. He will strengthen him. He will help him. He will put forth his hand and help him. We see that even though we're in the midst of trouble, kind of a subpoint underneath this one, times of uncertainty, God is to be worshipped. Times of uncertainty, God is to be worshipped. Underneath that, a subpoint, God continues to protect us. It's uncertain, but God's right there. He said, you revive me. He said, you strengthen me. He said, your hand is there. You've given me my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. God continues to protect us. Psalm 23:3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Go with me to Isaiah's writing, please. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. God continues to protect us in times of uncertainty. And in times of uncertainty, God is to be worshipped. Psalm 43. The theme is water, I guess. That's probably why I said puddle, because I knew I was thinking about this verse. I didn't know I was thinking about it. When thou passest through the waters, Isaiah 43, verse 2, sorry, I don't think I said that. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, I guess the waters is just not as much water, right? And then I'm in the river. And you know what rivers do? They don't sit still, do they? They flow and they flow and they flow. But it says, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, uncertainty, challenging times, he said, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can testify to that, can't they? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. But notice he says, I'm going through the water. I'm passing through it. I'm in the midst of it. I'm going through the river. I'm going through the fire. But every way that Isaiah goes and every way that David goes and every place that they venture into, we find something. God protects his children. And sometimes God protects his children by taking them home. Brother Murillo woke up today in a very frail body, but he ended the day in the presence of the Lord. That's God's protection. That's God's sovereign will. That's what God wanted for him. And I thank God that even though we are in uncertainty, we have God's protection. Not only that, though, but number two, second subpoint under this uncertainty, God is to be worshipped, is this: God continues to perfect us. Now, this is something that is exciting. Protection, yes, that's exciting. I'm not saying it's more exciting. I'm just saying it's exciting that God is, when we know that God is with us during times of uncertainty, it isn't just to make us miserable. You know, God is up in heaven looking down at Brother Tejada, and he's saying, let's see how I can make him suffer. Is that all God does? No. God's a loving heavenly Father. He doesn't let the righteous be forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He's not going to give him a serpent. Right? That verse, I can't remember exactly how it goes. He's not going to give him a stone. No, but the uncertainty that God allows in my life is for my maturation. It's to mature me. It's to perfect me. The more intense the difficulty is and the uncertainty is, you know this is true, the more we recognize his presence and his protection. You just bump your thumb, you know, so to speak. That hurts. And you know that he's there for that. But you lose a leg. I'm giving that as an illustration, okay? Not literally, but you lose a leg and it's really, that's a little more than stubbing your thumb or your big toe. Although your big toe, stubbing your big toe, that's painful. In all seriousness, you know what I'm saying? The greater the uncertainty, if you're walking with the Lord, and I hope you are, and I want to be walking with Him even more intensely, because the greater uncertainty, the greater we know He's there. Some people wonder tonight, why have I been chosen to receive the honorary degree of crisis and catastrophe? It seems like every so often I've just made it through one thing and here comes trouble. Here comes the crisis. I think David could have received, and maybe he has won, this honorary degree of crisis and catastrophe. And maybe you even look at your life right now and you wonder, you know, I'm in the midst of it. I've got it behind me, before me, beside me, and the other side of me. And I want to encourage you tonight, keep worshiping God and know that He is protecting you, and He will not allow anything to come into your life that is only, it is only for His glory and for your perfection. Be more like the Master, to be more in His image. I would say this, that whatever is happening right now in my life, in your life as His child, it's part of His it's part of the Master's plan. Look at verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Wow, think of that. And you can claim that tonight personally. The Lord is perfecting anything concerning me. Now remember, perfecting might mean, you know, sanding and rough edge, sanding off the rough edges, and it might mean a pruning, you know, cutting off a limb, as I was talking about your leg. It's not easy to be perfected, right? But the fruit that comes from a pruned tree properly, the fruit that comes from a pruned life, we don't even remember the pruning. Well, we might remember it. But what do we think more about? We don't think more about a branch that's in the recycle bin that's somewhere in the dump. No, we think about that beautiful fruit that's in our hand. Whatever fruit you want, just choose it, okay? You think about that fruit that's in your hand. Same thing with a garden, you know, working that garden. I think it's about that time of year, isn't it? Get out there and start working that garden. You know, as I've told you many times over, when I was a child, I remember working in the garden, and I hated it until September. Sat down at the table. Oh, man. The fruit of our reward. And then, of course, I was reminded by my loving mother and my father, you see, that's why you were working in the garden, to get this fruit. Taking out them tater bugs off the tater plants. That was kind of fun because you got that bug off there and you got to squash it in your hands. And that was fun. That was fun. But I don't think any of the rest of it was fun. Sometimes the perfecting of us isn't fun. It's not fun. But when you're in the Master's hand, you're in the hand of love. And that's what He said. Look what He says at the end. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. God, whatever you're doing, I may not see it. I may not understand it, but I'm going to worship you. And keep me in your hands, by the way. Don't forsake me. I believe Psalm 138:8 could be called the Philippians 1:6 of the Old Testament. Hold your place in Psalm 138:8, and let's go to Philippians 1:6. I think these two could go together. And maybe you would jot that down if you write in your Bible, and then you would look at it each time. Whenever you go to that one verse, you'll go look at the other one, and it'll just be an encouragement to you. It's Philippians 1:6. Maybe you've already memorized it. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's he doing? He's perfecting it. That's what that means. He's doing something in you and something in me that, again, the fruit is not evident right away. It takes time, but it's worth the time. And then we read verse 8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." Oh, tonight, as we come to the end of this particular challenge of worshiping God in uncertain times, worshiping God in future times, worshiping God in the present difficulties, don't lose sight of the fact that we are in the hands of Almighty God. What better place to be in 2021 than in the peaceful hands of Almighty God? And know this, He's not just got you and me in His hand and we're just sitting there doing nothing. He's working on us. I can see Him moving His hands, right? Can you see His hands? And you're in there. He's got the whole world in His hands. I can just see Him moving His hands. And while He's moving His hands, He's working on you and He's working on me and He's working on other believers all over the world. And the Holy Spirit's working on the lost. He is at work. You say, "Pastor, I just don't see it. I don't see that He's at work." You know, sometimes when you're driving down the road and there's a sign that says, "Men at work." Men at work. And sometimes you don't see it because they're down below. The manhole cover is lifted up, and there's a sign, "Men at work," and there's maybe that big yellow tube, that big round yellow tube, okay? That's not a play tube, kids. Don't crawl in that. Okay, that's not what that's for. But you see that tube going down in there, you see a fence around it. You don't see it, but below the surface, there's men down there working. They're doing whatever it is that they need to do. You can't see them, but they're working. You know, many times in our Christian life, I think that's exactly what sign is up, only it says this, "God at work." God at work. You say, "I don't see it, but God is at work." And you don't always have to see it, and I don't always have to see it, but know this, God is at work. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It says, "His mercy endureth forever and ever." Joshua 4:24, "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." And of course, John 10 tells us that we're in two sets of hands. We're in the hands of the Lord Jesus, and then in the hands of God the Father as well. No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Tonight on this beautiful Wednesday evening, where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself like David in the middle? In the midst of something? Not sinful, just troublesome, wearisome. You know? It sometimes comes out of nowhere. And sometimes you might think, you know what, I just got through one, but here comes another one. And remember, God's not up in heaven trying to make life miserable on you and miserable on me. No, He's protecting while He's perfecting. All the while that our worship of Him might be stronger and stronger and stronger. He alone deserves the praise. He alone deserves the worship. And so I hope you'll read through Psalm 138. Maybe even a few more times this week. We read it on Sunday morning in our service. You remember that? And just let God's Spirit illuminate the verse for you. Illuminate the verses for you. I hope it encourages you along the way.